Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
They say can't be done.
That's right.
We've got a long way to go.
Well, not much longer of a way to go. Two games, two more wins to get to New Orleans. Welcome on in, everyone. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillio. You guys went on 215-592-9494 after a 22-10 playoff victory over the Green Bay Packers. Good morning, Hugh.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Philadelphia. Let's get ready to go. It's about that time.
We got two more. One down, two to go to get to New Orleans. The Eagles yesterday, backed by dominant defense. Saquon Barkley, and enough in the passing game. Get by the Green Bay Packers. Good morning, you. How we doing?
I'm good, man. I can't complain. Excited that the Eagles won. That was a physical game yesterday. That was a real physical game.
Well, I mean, the Packers were dropping like flies throughout that game. It was interesting as you watched the play, because they came in, we talked about it all last week, they were banged up, right? They didn't have Christian Watson, they didn't have Jair Alexander, but then when they lost that left guard, I think it was Nolan Smith took him out as the guy was pulling on the run play, and Nolan Smith, who we're going to talk a lot about him today, what a game Nolan had. When he took him out, Hugh, and they didn't have their left guard, it just felt like that was like the tipping point, the breaking point for them. They didn't have enough yesterday.
Yeah, man, and we knew it was going to probably play out the way that it did. It played out the way that I thought it might. Jalen was a little rusty. But the defense travels well, man. I think that's the one thing that we hang our hat on is the fact that we play really solid defense. Unfortunate that N'Kobe Dean got hurt.
Yep.
You know, that's a blow to that side of the ball. But for the most part, that was a physical game yesterday, man. And the defense asserted their dominance from the beginning all the way to the end.
You know what it was? It was very typical of a lot of Eagles games this year, where the defense and the running game are the story, and the quarterback makes enough plays where they put enough points on the board, but it's not like overwhelming. And yesterday, the defense was incredible. They held that Packers team. I know they were without their top, deep threat. But Hugh, the Packers had averaged 27 points a game this year. They scored 10, and it felt like they barely could move the football at times. The pass rush was really good, led by Nolan Smith. I'm amazed how good the secondary was yesterday against a quarterback that could do some things. I mean, Jordan Love has had a good start to his career, and people believe in him. He couldn't find anyone outside. Quinyon played really well. How about that interception by Darius Slay, like holding off the receiver and making that catch?
That was a beautiful play. You know what the unfortunate thing about that, and I'm not picking on Slay, but as an OG, You gotta stay on the field, man. I mean, I know he got banged up a little bit. You gotta, especially when your team needs you, because when he went out, that was a recipe. That could have went either way for us. You know, you gotta be out there on the field. I know he knows that, and it's unfortunate that he's been dealing with a lot all season long, but that was the thing that I was worried about when he went out. I was like, damn, this might change some things.
You know what it was for me? It was just every step of the way, every time there was a moment in that game, you felt like, could it go the other way? Could get a little nervous? The Eagles stepped up and made a play. You know, the Packers had a couple moments where they scored some points, but the Eagles responded each time with some big runs or some big defensive plays. You know, Nolan stood out to me yesterday, had, I think, the best game of his career in his biggest spot. Quinyon, Slay, Zach Bond. Unfortunately, you mentioned N'Kobe got hurt, but we talked about it all season. Their defense drove was the story for this, right? Defense are running the football. Yesterday, they were who they were yesterday.
Yeah, and that's what you need, man. You know, it's one of those things where, going into this game, you know, with Jalen not playing as long as he's not played, he held the ball a little bit. But the defense was the deciding factor in this game. That's the beautiful part about it. When I said it last week, I know we were saying it a little tongue-in-cheek, but when you're playing, if you're the number one defense in the league going into the playoffs, that's nothing to sneeze at. That says to me that regardless of what your offense is doing, that defense is going to keep you in the game. And that's exactly what they did yesterday. It was 10-0 forever.
Mm-hmm.
It was 10-0 forever. And they were able to hold it down long enough for the offense to get something going a little bit. and we were able to win the game. That's all you can ask from your defense.
Well, and they caused four turnovers. 215-592-9494. Started off right away. So we do the pregame show yesterday. Hugh, I hop in the car, and I'm heading home, and I was listening to Merrill and Mike in the first quarter, and then I'll kind of rewatch on DVR when I get home and watch the whole thing. But Hugh, I heard the roar of the crowd as soon as the opening kick happened, and then they kind of untangled the scramble, and you realize Oren Burks forced a fumble. That was the tone setter for the entire day. And look, Burks had to come into plus play defense yesterday because the Kobe got hurt. But I thought that set the tone for the whole game, that he was able to make that play, and the Packers, who already were behind the eight ball, that just felt like it wasn't going to be their day.
Man, I tell you, it's one of those things when you see that hit. That was a textbook hit, because as soon as he hit him on the button, hit him mm-hmm. in the front of his – he would be called back in the day putting that bike on him. He lowered the helmet and he hit him with his face mask, in his face mask. And as soon as he hit him, it was like that pilot light blinked for like a quick second, and he dropped the ball. And that's all you need. And that's what – when you have that on the opening kickoff, that gets your team going right there. That really gets the team going.
Well, it did. Led by that, then the defense. How about – you know who deserves a shout-out this morning, Hugh?
Who's that?
Rhea, when she was with us last week. You remember her bold prediction for the game? Quinyon Mitchell would have his first interception of his career.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, she did say that.
Rhea called it right here on the midday show.
She said she's very proud of that call. She did call it, though. Shout out to Rhea Hughes.
Yeah, she should be proud. And that we should be proud of this defense, because they dominated yesterday. On a day, we could be real, the passing game again was a little choppy. Hugh, let's talk about it. So it's interesting, because you called this all week. You thought the pass game would be rusty. A lot of people did, right? But you thought, like, basically, the way they won the game was exactly how you laid out last week. You thought they would win the game. What's interesting, though, is Jalen started 6 for 6, right, including the touchdown to Jahan Dotson right after the fumble. So it almost felt like, hey, maybe he's not going to be rusty. But then, you know, they went like an hour of real time without a completed pass. Like after the 6 for 6 start, it felt like forever again until they had the drive where he threw the two passes to Devontae and then the big touchdown to Goddard where they scored again. It was a weird day for the passing game, because the stats are typical of a lot of Jalen games this year. It just was a long stretch where it was really quiet.
I feel like in the beginning of the game, and just looking at it as it's playing right now, they made some manageable throws. The throws were manageable for Jalen. And as the game progressed, they tried to throw a little bit more at him mm-hmm. and tried to stretch the field a little bit. And that's where it became a little disjointed. That's where it was, you know, Jalen looked a little indecisive with the football and things of that nature. But I think for the most part, you went out and did what you wanted to do. You know, Saquon got 116 yards or something like that.
And he could have had more if he didn't slide.
He has a tough sledding. But that's the way the game plan should be. I know that we are all enamored by the fact that most quarterbacks, you know, you look at them and the stat line isn't what you want it to be when it comes to Jalen Hurts. But the bottom line is this. This team has been winning like this all year long with the defensive formula and the Saquon Barkley additive in that, if you will. So I don't see any reason why you got to change anything right now. As we progress through these playoff series, sure, Jalen is going to have to make some plays. But I did not expect that to be the case this weekend, because Jalen was coming off of concussion protocol.
Well, it was a very I watched that game yesterday, and it was a microcosm of the 2024 Eagles. Dominant defense, great running game, incredible offensive line play. I mean, the first touchdown of the game, Jalen Hurts had 6.75 seconds in the pocket. Hugh, could you ever remember, or when you played, could you ever think of a moment? And sometimes a quarterback will scramble out and run around, right? Mahomes does that. Jalen does it. Vic used to do it. Donovan. That's one thing. I don't think I can ever recall, Hugh, a quarterback having 7 seconds inside the pocket.
Nah, that's a lot of time. And still didn't know where to go with it. That's a lot of time.
Well, he found Dotson. But it was an offensive line story yesterday. It was a running game story yesterday. And mostly was a defense story, like this whole season. And the passing game was choppy. I mean, the first thing that hit me yesterday was how great the defense was. But also, like, I can't ignore the pass game was choppy. 215-592-9494. We'll go to your phone calls here in a second. We got a lot to do today. And Merrill Montage, we'll talk to Merrill himself. We will get into the A.J. Brown book. And maybe a little reading Giglio later, whatever the heck that was. A big Hugh breakdown on Nolan Smith. And, of course, we'll talk about who we want now in the divisional round. It'll be decided tonight between the Vikings and the Rams. Let's hear, though, Saquon Barkley after the game yesterday giving a shout-out to Vic Fangio and that defense.
Vic is down up. I'm boys is over there balling, making plays. They got the swagger that they have right now. They're over here doing this. And, you know, what I think we could do better is we could capitalize on the plays that they're making, the turnovers that they're making. I will say that that's something I think that we lack on. Everyone want to get on if we're rusty or if we're this and that and third. Our defense went out there and got three turnovers. Our special teams got a turnover, and we scored on that drive. We scored a touchdown on the drive. But if we do that, you know, it's a different outcome. It's a different game. But at the same time, the same outcome would be the same, I mean. But we both got to win.
Well, he's right, Hugh. I mean, they scored 22, which is fine, but they also got the defense gave them four turnovers. I can understand why the offense probably thinks, hey, we should have scored more than 22.
Yeah, they should have. They should have. But the bottom line is this: they won the game, and you know, there's always playoff games, even the ones that you win in the Super Bowl, where you know you look at some opportunities that were missed. But fortunate enough for you, you had a good enough day, and you had a good enough day offensively, that it didn't cost you anything, because, you know, as we all know, these things are one and done. So you go back to the drawing board and you get ready for the next one. That's all you can do. You're still alive. That's the bottom line. It's like being in a gladiator fight. The fight wasn't what you wanted it to be, but you're able to fight next week, and that's all that matters.
The ultimate survive and advance. All right, let's hear from the quarterback yesterday. Jalen Hurts in yesterday's game, 13-21, 131 yards, two touchdowns, no picks. The passer rating was shiny, but obviously there was a lot that just looked blah in the passing game. Hurts, after the game yesterday, talking, like what Saquon did, about having to take advantage of those opportunities the defense provides.
You guys got off to a hot start, and then it seemed like maybe there was like a little bit of a lull there. Was this something they were doing, or was it execution?
It was execution. It was rhythm. You know, we gotta find our rhythm early in the game. And, you know, I think first and foremost, our defense played their tails off. And created turnovers. And I think ultimately, you know, when you have those opportunities, you gotta take advantage of them. And that starts with me.
Well, it does. And moving forward, I've said this, I'll say it again. To win the Super Bowl, I think Jalen's going to have better moments and be better and throw for more yardage and win the game more with his arm than just the defense run. But to beat the Packers, it was good enough. It was more, you know, Hugh, there's different kinds of games. And maybe it's this coming Sunday against the Rams or the Vikings. Maybe it's a title game against the Lions. I do think at some point they're going to need more of the pass game. But yesterday, they didn't. I mean, when the defense plays that well, Hugh, you can win a game like that, or two.
Defense travels well, man. I mean, you look at it. You're talking about A.J. Brown, they got one catch yesterday. And what, three targets or something like that?
More reading than catches yesterday.
Yeah. And that's something where, you know, you normally don't see a win in a situation like that. Mm-hmm. But this team is super talented. And it goes as Saquon Barkley goes. You know, he had relatively a quiet day yesterday for his standards. But, you know, 25 carries and being able to control the clock the way that you do, I wouldn't be surprised if it's similar. This game this weekend coming up is similar to the one we just saw.
It could
maybe
be
a little bit better, maybe a little bit more passing and completions. But it's one of those things. I look at it like this. If your defense is playing well, and, you know, it's unfortunate that it looks like N'Kobe's not going to be out there. But if your defense is playing well, it's going to give your offense a chance to get going. And if it sputters in these next couple of weeks and people can't get a real bead on what they're trying to do, that might be to our advantage to a certain extent.
So you mentioned there how talented they are. Here's what struck me. Yesterday, the Eagles only were 2 of 11 on third down. They only completed 13 passes. And if Saquon doesn't decide to slide at the end of the game, they win the game by 19 points or 20 points. I mean, it was 22-10. Saquon run, he had that touchdown. He just decided to slide there. It's 29 or 30-10 if the Eagles wanted to, and they didn't even play that great at times. 215-592-9494. What hit you the most from yesterday? Let's celebrate a playoff victory, two wins to a Super Bowl appearance. The Eagles 22, the Packers 10. Was it that defense or was the choppiness of the passing game? Kyle? The Eagles are two wins away from New Orleans. What hit you the most yesterday?
It was a 2024 Eagles win. It's like the formula that they've had all season long. Offense stuck in mud for stretches of the game. But the defense and Saquon Barkley really just wearing you down physically, just pure domination. It was one of the better defensive performances we've seen all season long. I mean, even starting with the special teams play by Oren Burks, like, man, they put the offense in so many advantageous positions. Now, offense didn't capitalize on it, and that was a little bit worrisome. I'm almost willing to give the offense a bit of a mulligan this week, being that, you know, they probably weren't in sync. I mean, Hurts hadn't played for a while. The receivers weren't practicing for stretches this week. And if you think about it, you know what it reminded me of? In 2017, that first game against the Falcons, when the offense stunk and the defense played their ass off. And everyone's like, uh-oh. Like, I don't know. I don't know about Nick Foles. I don't know about the offense. All this. If they play like that, then they're not going to go very far. But they turned it on. And I think that this offense is capable of turning it on. So, I couldn't be happier with just getting out of there with a win and moving on. And hopefully things start to clean up from there on out.
Interesting comparison. Yeah, well then, you know, if we're using the comparison Hurts to Foles, right, you know, back in 2017, the next 2 weeks, Nick Foles exploded for, you know, over 700 passing yards and 6 touchdowns. That'd be nice if Jalen could do that. 215-592-9494. Let's go to the phones here as we react and celebrate an Eagles victory over the Packers on to division around weekend. Chris in Middletown starts us off. Good morning, Chris.
Happy playoff victory Monday, man.
Chris, buddy, what's up today? How you feeling?
Guys, well, first of all, I'm still feeling a little cold. My body is still a little chilled to core from being out in the elements yesterday, but it was well worth it. Hugh Douglas?
Yes.
Proud of you, sir. I really am. And serious, man to man, man. You stood up. You embraced our insanity. I'm proud of you. Now, I ain't going to lie, Hugh. When I saw you, I got a little worried. I was like, uh-oh. When I saw you at the pregame, I was like, you went a little Douglas Skittles mode there, and I was a little nervous.
I think he was locked in, right? Zero dark 30, fully locked in, Hugh Douglas?
That's what it was.
Playoff mode, Hugh.
Yeah, that's the story. We'll stick with that.
I like it. Yeah. Playoff. Hugh was locked in for a playoff game yesterday. That was it.
Absolutely.
So, Chris, what are you feeling today? What hit you the most?
You know what hit me was the amount of electricity and energy that was running through that stadium. Was it was Philly's post-game-esque. It was absolutely insane in there, and the team and the defense just fed off of it. Joe, you talked about that fumble that was created on the kickoff.
Mm-hmm.
I almost felt it coming. Like, I know that sounds crazy, but it's like we had such a rush of energy that was being sent down to that field that it's almost like you can feel something was impactful was going to hit, and when it did, it was just almost like the release of the energy that was shot down there. Like, guys, it was absolutely insane. That defense is no joke. I talked to one of my best friends. I said one of my concerns with our defense all along, and I knew it was going to come, was we weren't getting turnovers, because in the beginning of the year, we were stuffing people and stuffing them, but we weren't getting the picks. We weren't necessarily getting the fumbles. Now we are. And, guys, the numbers are starting to level out, and they're leveling out at the right time for us because we're getting them on that. And I'm going to leave you with one other thing that stood out to me. The man-child Goddard, when he took back control of that game and told that young buck, "No, just get off me, boy. You not taking me down." Dude, it was just ridiculous. Like, swatting him away like a gnat. Guys, it was great. I look forward to talking to you all week. We're going to get ready. We're going to rev it up. We're winning another one come this Sunday.
No doubt, Chris.
Let's go, Birds!
There it is, Chris in Middletown. There, yeah, that Hugh, you brought Goddard up. I think it was yesterday and Friday as maybe kind of a guy that we, because it's weird. He's had a season here where it's easy to almost forget about him, right? He had a huge play in New Orleans in Week 3 to maybe turn this season around, and then he got hurt, and then he came back, and then he got hurt again. It always happens with Dallas Goddard, but Hugh, that play yesterday, that's one of the coolest plays in Eagles playoff history.
Yeah, and it was an outlet play. I kind of figured, going into this game and our quarterback not having the timing that he's accustomed to having, you know, you try to shorten the game for him as much as you possibly can. So kind of figured that there was a chance that Calcaterra had a nice little catch too on the sideline. If I'm not mistaken, he had one of those, if I'm not mistaken, on the sideline where he dragged us. He did a toe drag or something.
Yes, yes.
And he had that. And, you know, having Dallas out there, because it allows him – it takes the pressure off the quarterback, because as you could see yesterday, his accuracy wasn't there in the deep ball throw. So he kind of, the intermediate passes were some of the ones that were comfortable for him. And if I'm not mistaken, I think that's That's where you talk about he went 6 for 6 at the beginning of the game. That was somewhere in that same range. Mm-hmm. So you're trying to get him comfortable. It's just unfortunate that at that point, as the game progressed, that he wasn't as comfortable as we would have liked him to be. But, yeah, I mean, it's probably going to be another game where this weekend coming up, I know I'm projecting a little bit because it's Monday, but it's probably going to be another game where the tight ends will probably factor big into this win that we're going to have whoever it is we play against.
Goddard's an X factor, especially, and we'll talk more about it, about the book and everything. If yesterday was A.J. didn't have a big game because of Jalen or because of the game plan or because of the defense, whatever, that's one thing. But if A.J.'s hobbled because of this knee, and from my perspective, he was not running like he usually does yesterday, they need contributions from others to have enough. And yesterday, Goddard... 4 for 47. That's a good day. I'll take that. Plus, that touchdown was awesome. Will in the Northeast. Hey, Will.
Dream team. How y'all doing today on this wonderful Monday?
Good morning, Will. We're great. We got a playoff win to talk about. What are you feeling?
Absolutely, man. I think Jalen did just enough. Everybody talking about Goddard, but what about that hell of a block A.J. gave for him, man?
It was.
That was a hell of a block that he gave and helped him score, man.
Will, did you happen to hear Brady's reaction to that? I thought it was pretty cool. He was talking about how it was kind of selfless and champions, that's the way champions play. Even if they don't get the football, they help their team out. I love that.
Yeah, and that was, I'm glad that he picked up on that, and I picked up on it also, man. I just think, I think the offense had a little bit of rust. I'm grateful for the defense, man, because they kept us in the game. They played very well. I think the play calling was a little bit off, too, because, that middle of the field was open a lot through the game, and they really never attacked the middle of the field. So hopefully they'll look at the tapes and, take a view at that and, make some better plays. But my main thing is my man Dotson, he got a score finally. He finally got a nice touchdown.
You've been calling that one all year. It's better late than never, man. Finally.
I know, right. So, but the thing is, I think, when we're in that red zone, man, you got to look for that big body Goddard, man. You know what I'm saying? Because, he showed, he could get yak yards, and, he played tough, man. And I think, next game, man, whoever it is, man, we bringing it, man. We going to keep bringing it and, keep going, Eagles. Listen, we had a little rust, but guess what? The rust going. We going to play on now. Let's do it.
Let's do it, Will. We appreciate the phone call. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop in on this Victory Monday. The Eagles are in the division round after a 22-10 victory over the Green Bay Packers. We'll find out and we'll talk about, as this show goes along, who we want tonight. It's the Rams. It is the Vikings. That'll be the opponent here 3 o'clock on Sunday. Lot to discuss here. On the other side, what hit you from the game? What hit you the most? Is it the passing game up and down struggles, or was it that dominant, dominant defense? We'll go more into their side, and we'll let you hear how it sounded right here on WIP, the montage of the best moments of the Eagles' victory over the Packers. 215-592-9494. It's the Midday Show right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Well, Stevie Wonder, welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gill, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. After a 22-10 playoff victory over the Green Bay Packers on the division round, two wins away from a trip to the Super Bowl. All right, what hit you the most yesterday? Is it the passing game struggles or is it the dominance of the defense? What's the biggest thing you took from the game here? The defense?
Well, the physicality. I mean, they, right out the gate. I mean, they came to play. They were hitting people in the mouth, and that was kind of the tone setter for the whole game.
Yeah, that Oren Burks fumble, caught, you know, the caused fumble to start the game, forced fumble. And then, you know, the more I watched it, Hugh, I wasn't even sure if they recovered it. But they, I mean, they gave it to the Eagles, which was great.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
But it was kind of like Trot, like, just like stole it from
right
the Packer.
On, he jumped right on. Because it was like, it, like I said, it happened so fast. I can almost guarantee you that when the receiver got hit, it was like, it was probably saw a bright light like flash in front of him because he got hit right on the butt.
He did get smoked.
He got hit on the butt. And when he did it, he, you know, it's a natural instinct just to kind of flinch for a minute, and he let the ball go. And Jeremiah Trotter Jr. came up right over the top and he took the ball. And I was like, man. But the thing that did, the radio didn't do it any justice. But when I got home and I got to see it on TV, you could hear that because he hit him. He put that bike on him. That's what he used to say back in the day. He put that bike on him.
It's funny you say that you know, because you and I both, we left the pregame. And my routine is I go home and then I'll restart it. Like, I have it on DVR. So I knew what happened. Like, I got home with like 3 minutes to go in the first quarter. My kids were watching and then they rewound. They're like, did you see the first play? And I pretended I didn't know. I was like, no, what happened? They're like, he killed him. And then, like, I watched it. That Oren Burks hit, Kyle. I mean, he just lit him up.
You could, I mean, it sounded like it echoed in the stadium when he hit him. Now, you know what the fumble reminded me of? The no clear recovery in Dallas?
With Goddard.
Yeah.
Even in 2018?
Yes. So, and they didn't say that that's why they went with the ruling on the field, but everyone was like, well, it kind of looked like the guy on Green Bay recovered it, but it was a little questionable, and you saw a bunch of bodies go over where the ball, and you know, so like, I wondered if that was why they stuck with the ruling on the field.
Yeah, I just watched it again. I mean, you could see the ball moving around a lot down there.
Right, but like, you know,
you can't tell on the replay.
The guy on Green Bay sort of grabs it like immediately, but you don't see him fully like bring it all the way in, and you see another Eagles arm in there, and then all of a sudden it gets covered. Like, so I wonder if it was like a little bit more clear. They had another second to see if they would have awarded Green Bay the ball back, but it went this. I'm sitting there screaming, no clear recovery.
So we joked on Friday about Brad Allen's crew, the ref crew, that they tend to side more with home teams. I always wonder with that no clear recovery, are you going to go against the home crowd there? You got the buzz of the crowd. Are you really going to get on the mic and say, actually, no, it's Packers ball? If you're not sure, you just go with the home team.
If they wanted it to be toxic for the next 59 minutes of that game, then.
I'll take the home cooking. All right, let's hear from Sirianni after the game yesterday about Jalen Hurts. Look, the defense was excellent. The physicality, as Hugh has mentioned a couple times, it was playoff football. But we can't ignore, and we're not this week, we can't ignore that the passing game was very up and down. Here is Sirianni. On Jalen Hurts.
You know, as an offense, we struggled a little bit as an offense. You know, I don't think we had the game that we wanted to have on offense. But Jalen, I did think, did a lot of good things. One thing that Jalen continued, first of all, Jalen is a winner. He wins. I mean, no one can argue that, right? And the other thing is, we know when we take care of the football, the things that happen when we take care of the football. And Jalen's on this pace of, you know, the efficiency that he's played with this year and with his quarterback rating, with his yards per attempt and all those different things. To be able to do that while also taking care of football is huge.
Hugh, it's interesting the way he framed his quarterback rating, because a lot of times we look at Jalen's, like Jalen's numbers yesterday in terms of his passer rating was very good, right?
Yeah.
Over 100 again. But there's moments in the game where it feels like the passing game is just stuck. Like, they just can't do anything.
It took a while, because they in real time, it took them forever. It just seemed like the more the game went on, the more that you felt that there was a chance that if Green Bay could find a little bit of offense, that they would be in this game.
And they couldn't. I mean, they didn't have anything yesterday. It's funny, when the more we watch Hurts and the more we watch this season play out, it's like every time you're worried, uh-oh, this is really going to go bad, he does find a way to put another drive together. Hugh, that drive where Goddard scored the touchdown, the one you were just speaking of last segment, he had two throws to Devontae before the touchdown to Goddard. And according to Sirianni, he checked to the play. Like, he changed that play to the screen pass to Goddard. So It's like he does it. He does just enough. Just enough every week.
I mean, it's those unquantifiable intangibles that I'm talking about when it comes to Jalen. I mean, it's a lot that when you look at him that you – it makes you frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
No question about it. The fact that he holds the ball too long. The fact that, you know, other guys get the ball out of their hands quicker. But when you have Jalen out there on the field, man, he's another threat that you have to contend with. You know, and that's what makes this offense, you know, it's frustrating at times, but that's what makes the offense so good. Jalen is a big part of that, man. You know, it's funny. We were talking about, like, just in passing, was having a conversation with somebody, and they were asking me who, if you could replace it with one of the quarterbacks that was in the playoffs that's out, and I think the name was Justin Herbert, would you do it? Would you replace Jalen for Justin? I was like, nah, because, and I understand that part of that is because of the performance that Justin just had.
Sure.
But there's something about Jalen in this offense, man, that I know that, you know, you look at other guys, they might be better, but he's unique and he's good for this team. I know it sounds crazy because of the way the offense looked yesterday, but he just finds a way to win.
So it's interesting you brought that up. I want to play what Ray Dittinger said this morning about Jalen. But and look, there's a lot to talk about with Hurts and the offense and the passing game, and we're going to do it all week as we get set for the next round and what they need out of Jalen. And I have, and you've heard it all year, I have my concerns, and I do think at some point he's going to have to play better for them to win the champions, like win the whole thing. But, Hugh, you brought up Herbert. So I would say of the five games we've had in the playoffs so far, two of them were just total mismatches, so I'm just going to like throw them out, right? The Ravens and Steelers and the Bills and Broncos, those games were done early, right? But the other three games that were at least like, you know, we'll see what happens here. There is a clear difference in the games. The turnovers, right? Herbert had four interceptions in his game. Last night, Baker Mayfield's fumble in the fourth quarter was the crushing moment for the Bucs, and it helped. And by the way, Jaden Daniels had no turnovers. And just look at the game we had yesterday. Jordan Love threw pick after pick. It's the one thing about Hurts, too, even through the ups and the downs, and there's a lot of times like, oh, he doesn't since the bye?
He's been careful with the football.
He doesn't turn the ball over.
I'll tell you another thing. You remember how, like in the NBA, we always talk about how in the playoffs it's a half-court game and how big how integral and how important the big man is when it comes to that. Because if you don't have a big guy in the playoffs, then you don't have a chance. Kind of the same thing in football. And we've been talking about it for the last couple of weeks. We have a running game. And I've always said, December, January, if you have that part of your game that's humming for you, then you got a shot. You talk about the tale of two teams yesterday. You talk about Josh Jacobs, and he looked like he got running later on as the game progressed. But after your quarterback then threw a couple picks in the game, it's kind of hard to get that going. You had no outside threat outside of the running game,
yep,
to be totally honest. And you have to have that. This team is balanced enough that even on our bad day, and you could qualify yesterday as a bad day for us offensively, that our defense is playing well, that we have enough talent, and our quarterback does just enough to know, number one, don't turn the football over. Do not turn the football over. And put the ball in the hands of your playmakers. That check down that he had to Dallas Goedert was phenomenal. I mean, I know it doesn't look like a whole lot because he was looking downfield, and then you could see at the last minute. It looked like to me that was a Dallas Goedert play all the way, because when you talk about when the ball was snapped, Dallas was looking back at the quarterback almost immediately.
So Sirianni said after the game, Jalen checked to Goedert. Like, he saw the defense. He that was his perception was, I got to throw to Goedert. Like, so, yeah, I think it was. I think it was Jalen checking to Goedert. Like, we're going to run this play right here. Let's hear Ray Dittinger this morning on Jalen Hurts and the way he played yesterday.
I would say, if you say average, you're being kind, you know. I mean, I'll ask a question to you. If he plays like that again, do you think they advance? I don't know. You know, I mean, he's going to have to play better. I mean, all the conversation during the week was about the rust factor, the layoff factor. He hasn't played for a while. He hasn't practiced. You know, how's that going to affect him? Well, clearly it did.
So, I mean, there's Ray saying average, you're being kind. I mean, it's a strong representation. I said it last week. To win the Super Bowl, he's going to have to play great at some point. They didn't need that against Green Bay. Will they need it against Minnesota or Los Angeles? Maybe. Will they need it against Detroit? Probably. 215-592-9494. Let's go to the phone lines here. Don in Old City. What's up, Don? Don. Ah, oh, Don, we'll put you on hold, buddy. All right, it's all right. Josh, you know who I know is ready? Josh Wilmuth is ready. What's up, Josh?
Guys, what's happening?
Hey, everybody. What's up?
Hey, Hugh, good for you, my man. Way to get down there and represent, brother.
Oh, Hugh was there yesterday. Oh, he was there without question with his green beard. He looked good. Josh, what are you feeling today?
Let's just real quick, right? Mm-hmm. Jalen, a little bit of rust, right? We all saw it. I mean, the offensive line does him a huge service, especially coming off those couple weeks of being off the field, right? I mean, he had time to do his thing, but, man, is he reluctant to throw the ball? I mean, dude, just get it out of your hands. I mean, look at McKee the past few weeks. Can you both agree on that? I mean, as soon as the ball was snapped, he's firing that ball off. Same with Kenny Two Gloves. So it's like, you know, Jalen is very unique to Hugh's point. And you know, could we just plug another quarterback in here? You know, right now, I don't think so. And Jalen is what he is. I mean, the guy just grinds and he wins. And I don't need Nick Sirianni saying it 10 times at a press conference. We all understand it, but man, dude, I'm screaming in my living room last night. Guys, please just cut it loose, right, Jalen? Cut it loose. Throw the damn ball.
Hugh, how much do you think is that he just doesn't want to turn it over?
I think he's probably a little cautious with the football, and you know, it's easy. I tell you what, man, because we've had a small sampling size, and we've seen it in a vacuum for the most part. Kenny Two Gloves and Tanner McKee, but. Yeah. I don't think you could take away what Jalen has seen over his years of playing in the NFL. And you might not agree with some of the decisions that he makes as far as being a quarterback, but the bottom line is we won yesterday. Yeah. I mean, and that's all that matters. And next week, I expect him to do a little bit more to help us win again. You know, so because it's that position and the way things go at that position, it's different, man. It's real different. And you need a guy back there that has a little bit of Jalen in him and has the ability to know, you know, what to do in certain situations.
Yeah. I mean, he rises, it seems like, when the temperature gets turned up, right? So, you know, next week, that temperature is going to be hot when the game starts.
Yes, it is.
So let's hope that he can harness everything that he took from this week into next week, and bam, you know, cut that ball loose. Now, as far as the defense is concerned, I mean, Hugh's representing the green beard for a reason. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's Zach Bond and Milton Williams yesterday. I mean, Milton Williams, I feel, was the unsung hero in the middle there, just clogging everything up. And you saw when those old linemen started to go down, I'm like, oh, man, it is going to be a penalty factory. And it did. It turned into one. Those guys create so much havoc up front that it's hard. I mean, that defense yesterday, man, hats off. And Saquon said it, right? I mean, look, you're getting the offensive side of the ball after the game. You know, give him props. Why? Because there are three words that just are sitting on my skull today. The minute my eyes open, win and advance. I don't care if it were ugly. I don't care if Jalen Hurts was back there on roller skates and were complaining. Look, we won. We're going on to the next one. And the beauty is that it's at home again. And I'm going to tell you, that place better be ready for it, because I have a feeling we got Minnesota coming in.
I do too.
Offense, yep. If and that offense isn't the same as the Green Bay offense.
No, it's better.
There's a guy out there on the outside that's going to make a difference. I don't care what way you're looking at it. And it's going to be important. So, look, man, let's enjoy it. I don't want to nitpick today. I want to be like, hey, it's the playoffs, baby.
It's a win. That's right, Josh.
Baby.
And listen, Josh, we've seen this. And as the season has gone along, this team reminds me. It's funny because you always, like, you watch a team and you're kind of reminded of another team, right? And you kind of see elements of other years. They remind me of those Russell Wilson Seahawks. Early on, Russell was not asked to do a lot, right? He was asked to manage the game, not turn it over. And the defense and the running game, Hugh, that's why those Seahawks won a championship. And that feels, the more we watch this, it feels like that's what this looks like.
Well, yeah. I mean, and there's nothing wrong with that.
No,
there's nothing wrong with that.
But the question is because that defense never had a bad day, right? They rolled all the way through. The question is, at some point, is the defense going to have a little slip and then we need more out of the offense?
Well,
that's
the question. You know, if I want to be nitpicky today, I mean, they had a couple slips yesterday. I mean, it wasn't nothing that caused you you know, egregious harm, but there were some missed tackles out there.
Yeah, you're right.
If you want to be nitpicky,
I can
say that, you know, there were times where, you know, Cooper DeJean, he's a sure tackler. He was out of position sometimes, and he didn't make tackles.
Was it Reed broke four on one play? I think Jaden Reed across the middle.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where they were on. They basically had a week off, and they got off to a slow start.
Yep,
it was sloppy. I mean, that's the thing that you have to kind of factor in. I know, you know, we as fans, we want to talk about, are we going to do this, that, and the third? But you also have to understand that it's almost like, say, if you're a guy that you're a glass blower. Say, you know, you're going out there blowing glass all day, and you ain't blow glass in like a week.
Is that our first glass blowing reference on the show?
Yeah, I mean, it was the
that's
first
not
thing.
A great
have
analogy,
you ever done
that? I'm sorry.
No, man, I ain't about to blow no glass. Ain't about to do that.
I didn't watch glass blowing.
No, it, I mean, it's pretty cool. Intriguing.
You're not supposed to inhale that.
Yeah, but it's like, trouble. You know, you out there and then you don't blow glass for a week, and then all of a sudden you back blowing glass, you're not going to have the same kind of skill set that you had a week before.
It's
going to take you a little bit of time to get
going. Algorithm? Where did that come from?
No, I follow this lady. She blows glass.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's got to – I knew it had to come from somewhere. Or I was wondering maybe that was what you did for Saturday this week.
No,
you
didn't
watch glass blowing. Maybe a group trip to glass blowing one day. That'd be fun. All right, can we hear how it sounded yesterday? The Merrill montage before we talk to the actual Merrill, live and in person, or not in person, on the phone. But Merrill will join us at 11. How it sounded with Merrill and Mike and Devin yesterday. Here is the Merrill montage.
Elliott hits it. It is high, and Nixon takes it at the goal line. He's out to the 5, 15, 20, and he does not reach the 30. He is hit hard.
Ball came out.
The Eagles having a turnover on the very first play of the game. How about that play to start the game? Up the middle he goes. He's at the 25, 20, down to the 13 goes Saquon Barkley. What a start for this football team. Hurts, flops, he's looking, he's rolling, he's still looking. And he is firing for the end zone. Touchdown! Wide open, Johan Dotson. Low. He looks. Going deep down the far side of the field. And it
Slay
is
took
incomplete.
It.
And Slay, it is
Slay took it.
Slay.
Big play. Slay takes it away.
Back goes Love. He's looking. He has time. He fires. And it's intercepted by Bourne. Bourne at midfield. Bourne runs out of bounds at the 45. Zach Bourne. First team all pro. Hurts. Fires. Complete wide open. Smith. 40. 35. That's more like it.
Yeah,
Hurts,
there it is.
Rolling left and firing to Devontae Smith for a big pickup right there of 28 yards. He is going to throw. He does in the flat. A nice catch by Goddard, who breaks the tackle across the 5. Touchdown! Goddard.
Beast. He beasted him. He catches a simple flare pattern out into the flat, Merrill, and the cornerback is there, and he just beast modes him, pushes him in the face, not once, twice, and into the end zone.
Love back. He is going deep downfield, and it is intercepted! Intercepted! The first interception of Quinjon Mitchell's career.
How about that? It's the fourth takeaway by this defense on the night.
Hurts gets it to Barkley. And Barkley plows forward, and there's 100 yards. Again, it goes to Barkley. And again, he breaks. He's at the 40, and he falls down. He could have taken that home. He was out in front of the world. He could have taken that to the distance.
Yes.
But he said, I will do the gentlemanly thing. I will fall down and run at the clock. It wasn't the best game the Eagles ever played, but it was a very solid win.
It's a good way to frame it by Merrill. Not the best game the Eagles ever played.
No, a win is a win.
But it was more than good enough yesterday. Again, they still, you know, it's easy to look at the game and say, there were some things that weren't great. They did win the game by two scores. And Hugh, I don't know about you, I never felt the Packers were about to steal the game. Like they cut it to, what, 6 at one point, and then the Eagles scored again. But did you ever feel really worried during that game? I didn't.
No. I mean, but I also know that you don't want a team like that hanging around.
Right, right.
You don't want them lingering. And that's the thing that you worry against, because you saw at points during that game where, it was 10-0 for a while, where Green Bay, when they get a little something going, they try to get charged.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to make sure that you snuff that light out as quickly as possible. You don't want a team like that hanging around, man. And that's where I would say that the offense has to pick it up a little bit, because there were some opportunities that were missed, especially when you talk about 3 turnovers early in the game. Felt like it should have been a million points, and this game should have been decided in the first half, if you want to be honest. when you talk about the turnovers that were had early in the game and the fact that you didn't capitalize on them, this game should have been over.
Yeah, it's one of those things where they won. They won by double digits. They won by the end comfortably, but it could have been a total rout if they were a little more on point on offense. 215-592-9494. Jeff in Wilmington is up on WIP. Hey, Jeff.
What's up, guys?
Hey, Jeff. What's up, buddy?
It was a defense for me. And it wasn't, I think you said earlier, it wasn't just that they were stopping him. They were very physical. And I missed the very first play or the kickoff when they recovered it because I was driving and I got parked like a minute and a half after that. So I missed that. But yeah, just the way, look, dumb teams don't win games. And this team is not dumb. They're extremely smart. They take care of the ball, no turnovers. Saquon did the right thing, sliding down after he got that breakaway. And it was an efficient. I'll say it was an efficient win, if that makes sense.
I think that's a good way to put it. Yeah, It wasn't like bombs away. It wasn't super pretty. Even Saquon, Jeff, and Hugh had mentioned this earlier. It was more of a like a workmanlike 116 yards.
Yeah.
Like that break.
Yeah.
He had like two or three runs. He had a 16 yarder, 19 that last one at the end. But most of his runs yesterday felt like 3 or 4 yards. Right, just enough to keep this thing moving.
You know, earlier when you said you were talking about, like, Jalen started off, what, like 6 for 6, and he had all kinds of time in between. Like, he had plenty of time. I'm thinking maybe he got a little complacent back there in the next, you know, 3 or 4 series where he was kind of holding the ball a little bit too long. There was a couple of open receivers that he missed or, you know, he didn't see. I'm like, you get that much time back there, maybe you start thinking you got that time all day. And, you know, you got to be able to get those quick hitters out when you have that kind of time, I think.
They do. And moving forward, and they know it. I mean, you can hear the way they talked after the game. I think they know they have to be a little bit better on offense. Just because the games are, you know, we'll see if it's the Rams or Vikings, but there's a chance it's the 14-win Viking team coming here Sunday. That's going to be a challenge.
And I love seeing Dallas Goedert involved.
Yeah.
To double stiff arm a guy and just little boy that dude right down the field. That was awesome.
It was wild. There were two of them this weekend, Jeff. There was the Goddard one, then Saturday night, Derrick Henry just slapping that guy's head and running for a touchdown. Great moment yesterday. 215-592-9494. All right, we'll get back to all your reaction here on the win coming up after we talk to Merrill Reese, who called the action right here on WIP. Plus, we do have to get to some bad news. It's a great Monday. The Eagles won. They're playing this weekend. But some bad news that did come out of the game with an injury and how it will affect and impact this team the rest of the playoffs and the future as a big part of this good defense, great defense, went down yesterday. 215-592-949 for Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
The action is heating up this playoff season at ESPN Bet Sportsbook. You can bet over-unders and point spreads or player props like passing or rushing yards. New ESPN Bet Sportsbook customers can bet $10 to get $100 in bonus bets and lock 30 days of ESPN Plus. Download the app and sign up with promo code RADIO100 to get started today. Odds and lines are subject to change. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gilley, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. We got a lot coming up on the show. A big Hugh breakdown coming up in about an hour about Nolan Smith. What an incredible playoff performance by the young Eagles pass rusher. We'll get to the A.J. Brown stuff, the book, maybe a little reading. Gilley coming up in a little bit. And we will look at Wildcard Weekend as a whole and decide who we want to see on Sunday with the Vikings and the Rams. They'll play tonight, that game in Arizona. Because, of course, of moving to the neutral site with the tragedies and the fires out in the Los Angeles area. Right now, we go to the guest line. The guy that was on the call yesterday for a playoff victory, 22-10 over the Green Bay Packers, Merrill Reese joins us. Good morning, Merrill.
Good morning. Feeling good today about the fact that there is still football.
Yes, there is. We get at least one more, and I'm expecting at least another one after that. Merrill, let's talk about yesterday and really the tone that was set right from the jump, Merrill. The opening kickoff, Oren Burks, what a hit and what a game-changing play there.
Yeah, it was. When you score in the first 2 minutes like that with a fumble in the opening kickoff, that just sets a great tone.
It did, and it was... Little Stevie Wonder, welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gilley, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. After a 22-10 playoff victory over the Green Bay Packers on the division round, two wins away from a trip to the Super Bowl. All right, what hit you the most yesterday? Is it the passing game struggles or is it the dominance of the defense? What's the biggest thing you took from the game, Hugh? The defense?
The physicality. I mean, right out the gate. I mean, they came to play. They were hitting people in the mouth, and that was kind of the tone setter for the whole game.
Yeah, that Oren Burks fumble, the cost fumble to start the game, forced fumble. And then, you know, the more I watched it, Hugh, I wasn't even sure if they recovered it. But they gave it to the Eagles, which was great.
Yeah,
but it was kind of like Trot, like, just like stole it from
right
the Packer.
On, he jumped right on. Because it was like I said, it happened so fast. I can almost guarantee you that when the receiver got hit, it was probably saw a bright light like flash in front of him because he got hit right on the butt.
He did get smoked.
He got hit on the butt. And when he did it, it's a natural instinct just to kind of flinch for a minute, and he let the ball go. And Jeremiah Trotter Jr. came up right over the top, and he took the ball. And I was like, man. But the thing that did – the radio didn't do it any justice. But when I got home and I got to see it on TV, you could hear that because he hit him – he put that bike on him. That's what he used to say back in the day. He put that bike on him.
It's funny you say that you know, because you and I both, we left the pregame. And my routine is I go home and then I'll restart it. Like, I have it on DVR. So I knew what happened. Like, I got home with like 3 minutes to go in the first quarter. My kids were watching and then they rewound. They're like, did you see the first play? And I pretended I didn't know. I was like, no, what happened? They're like, he killed him. And then, like, I watched it. That Oren Burks hit Kyle. I mean, he just lit him up.
It sounded like it echoed in the stadium when he hit him. Now, you know what the fumble reminded me of? The no clear recovery in Dallas?
With Goddard.
Yeah.
Even in 2018?
Yeah.
Yes.
So, and they didn't say that that's why they went with the ruling on the field, but everyone was like, well, it kind of looked like the guy on Green Bay recovered it, but it was a little questionable when you saw a bunch of bodies go over where the ball, and you know, so like, I wondered if that was why they stuck with the ruling on the field.
Yeah, I just watched it again. I mean, you could see the ball moving around a lot down there.
Right, but like, you know,
you can't tell on the replay.
The guy on Green Bay sort of grabs it like immediately, but you don't see him fully like bring it all the way in, and you see another Eagles arm in there, and then all of a sudden it gets covered. Like, so I wonder if it was like a little bit more clear they had another second to see if they would have awarded Green Bay the ball back, but it went this. I'm sitting there screaming, no clear recovery!
So we joked on Friday about Brett Allen's crew, the ref crew, that they tend to side more with home teams. I always wonder with that no clear recovery, are you going to go against the home crowd there? You got the buzz of the crowd. Are you really going to get on the mic and say, actually, no, it's Packers ball? If you're not sure, you just go with the home team.
If they wanted it to be toxic for the next 59 minutes of that game, then.
I'll take the home cooking. All right, let's hear from Sirianni after the game yesterday about Jalen Hurts. Look, the defense was excellent. The physicality, as Hugh has mentioned a couple times, was playoff football. But we can't ignore, and we're not this week, we can't ignore that the passing game was very up and down. Here is Sirianni on Jalen Hurts.
You know, as an offense, we struggled a little bit as an offense. You know, I don't think we had the game that we wanted to have on offense. But Jalen, I did a lot of good things. One thing that Jalen continued, first of all, Jalen is a winner. He wins. I mean, no one can argue that, right? The other thing is we know when we take care of the football, the things that happen when we take care of the football. And Jalen's on this pace of, you know, the efficiency that he's played with this year and with his quarterback rating, with his yards per attempt and all those different things. To be able to do that while also taking care of football is huge.
Hugh, it's interesting the way he framed his quarterback rating, because a lot of times we look at Jalen's, like Jalen's numbers yesterday in terms of his passer rating was very good, right?
Yeah.
Over 100 again. But there's moments in the game where it feels like the passing game is just stuck. Like they just can't do anything.
It took a while because they in real time, it took them forever. It just seemed like the more the game went on, the more that you felt that there was a chance that if Green Bay could find a little bit of offense, that they would be in this game.
And they couldn't. I mean, they didn't have anything yesterday. It's funny when the more we watch Hurts and the more we watch this season play out, it's like every time you're worried, this is really going to go bad, he does find a way to put another drive together. Hugh, that drive where Goddard scored the touchdown, the one you were just speaking of last segment, he had two throws to Devontae before the touchdown to Goddard. And according to Sirianni, he checked to the play. Like, he changed that play to the screen pass to Goddard. So it's like he does just enough. Enough every week.
I mean, it's those unquantifiable intangibles that I'm talking about when it comes to Jalen. I mean, it's a lot. That when you look at him, that it makes you frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
No question about it. The fact that he holds the ball too long, the fact that, you know, other guys get the ball out of their hands quicker. But when you have Jalen out there on the field, man, he's another threat that you have to contend with. You know, and that's what makes this offense, you know, it's frustrating at times, but that's what makes the offense so good. Jalen is a big part of that, man. You know, it's funny, we were talking about, like, just in passing, was having a conversation with somebody and they were asking me, who, if you could replace one of the quarterbacks that was in the playoffs that's out, and I think the name was Justin Herbert, would you do it? Would you replace Jalen for Justin? I was like, nah. Because, and I understand that part of that is because of the performance that Justin just had.
Sure.
But there's something about Jalen in this offense, man, that I know that, you know, you look at other guys, they might be better, but he's unique and he's good for this team. I know it sounds crazy because of the way the offense looked yesterday, but he just finds a way to win.
So it's interesting you brought that up. I want to play what Ray Didinger said this morning about Jalen. But and look, there's a lot to talk about with Hurts and the offense and the passing game, and we're going to do it all week as we get set for the next round and what they need out of Jalen. And I have, and you've heard it all year, I have my concerns, and I do think at some point he's going to have to play better for them to win the championship, like the whole thing. But, Hugh, you brought up Herbert. So I would say of the five games we've had in the playoffs so far, two of them were just total mismatches, so I'm just going to like throw them out, right? The Ravens and Steelers and the Bills and Broncos, those games were done early, right? But the other three games that were at least like, you know, we'll see what happens here. There is a clear difference in the games. The turnovers, right? Herbert had four interceptions in his game. Last night, Baker Mayfield's fumble in the fourth quarter was the crushing moment for the Bucs, and it helped. And by the way, Jaden Daniels had no turnovers. And just look at the game we had yesterday. Jordan Love threw pick after pick. It's the one thing about Hurts, too, even through the ups and the downs, and there's a lot of times like, oh, he doesn't, since the bye?
He's been careful with the football.
He doesn't turn the ball over.
I'll tell you another thing. You remember how, like in the NBA, we always talk about how in the playoffs it's a half-court game and how big how integral and how important the big man is when it comes to that. Because if you don't have a big guy in the playoffs, then you don't have a chance. Kind of the same thing in football. And we've been talking about it for the last couple of weeks. We have a running game. And I've always said, December, January, if you have that part of your game that's humming for you, then you got a shot. You talk about the tale of two teams yesterday. You talk about Josh Jacobs, and he looked like he got running later on as the game progressed. But after your quarterback then threw a couple picks in the game, it's kind of hard to get that going. You had no outside threat outside of the running game,
yep,
to be totally honest. And you have to have that. This team is balanced enough that even on our bad day, and you could qualify yesterday as a bad day for us offensively, that our defense is playing well, that we have enough talent, and our quarterback does just enough to know, number one, don't turn the football over. Do not turn the football over. And put the ball in the hands of your playmakers. That check down that he had to Dallas Goedert was phenomenal. I mean, I know it doesn't look like a whole lot because he was looking downfield, and you could see at the last minute. It looked like to me that was a Dallas Goedert play all the way, because when you talk about when the ball was snapped, Dallas was looking back at the quarterback almost immediately.
So Sirianni said after the game, Jalen checked to that two-gotter. Like, he saw the defense. That was his perception was, I got to throw to Goddard. Like, so, yeah, I think it was. I think it was Jalen checking to Goddard. Like, we're going to run this play right here. Let's hear Ray Dininger this morning on Jalen Hurts and the way he played yesterday.
I would say, if you say average, you're being kind, you know. I'll ask a question to you. If he plays like that again, do you think they advance? I don't know. You know, I mean, he's going to have to play better. I mean, all the conversation during the week was about the rust factor, the layoff factor. He hasn't played for a while. He hasn't practiced. You know, how's that going to affect him? Well, clearly it did.
So, I mean, there's Ray saying average, you're being kind. I mean, it's a strong representation. I said it last week. To win the Super Bowl, he's going to have to play great at some point. They didn't need that against Green Bay. Will they need it against Minnesota or Los Angeles? Maybe. Will they need it against Detroit? Probably. 215-592-9494. Let's go to the phone lines here. Don in Old City. What's up, Don? Don, we'll put you on hold, buddy. All right, it's all right. Josh, you know who I know is ready? Josh Wilmuth is ready. What's up, Josh?
Guys, what's happening?
Hey, buddy. What's up?
Hey, Hugh, good for you, my man. Way to get down there and represent, brother.
Oh, Hugh was there yesterday. Oh, he was there without question with his green beard. He looked good. Josh, what are you feeling today?
Let's just real quick, right? Mm-hmm. I Jalen, a little bit of rust, right? We all saw it. I mean, the offensive line does him a huge service, especially coming off those couple weeks of being off the field, right? I mean, he had time to do his thing, but man, is he reluctant to throw the ball? I mean, dude, just get it out of your hands. I mean, look at McKee the past few weeks. Can you both agree on that? I mean, as soon as the ball was snapped, he's firing that ball off. Same with Kenny Two Gloves. So it's like, you know, Jalen is very unique to Hugh's point and. You know, could we just plug another quarterback in here? You know, right now I don't think so. And Jalen is what he is. I mean, the guy just grinds and he wins. And I don't need Nick Sirianni saying it 10 times at a press conference. We all understand it. But, man, dude, I'm screaming in my living room last night. Guys, please just cut it loose. Right, Jalen? Cut it loose. Throw the damn ball.
Hugh, how much do you think is that he just doesn't want to turn it over?
I think he's probably a little cautious with the football. And you know, it's easy. I tell you what, man, because we've had a small sampling size, and we've seen it in a vacuum for the most part. Kenny Two Gloves and Tanner McKee. But yeah. I don't think you could take away what Jalen has seen over his years of playing in the NFL. And you might not agree with some of the decisions that he makes as far as being a quarterback, but the bottom line is we won yesterday. Yeah. I mean, and that's all that matters. And next week, and I expect him to do a little bit more to help us win again. You know, so because it's that position and the way things go at that position, it's different, man. It's real different. And you need a guy back there that has a little bit of Jalen in him and has the ability to know, you know, what to do in certain situations.
Yeah, I mean, he rises, it seems like, when the temperature gets turned up, right? So, you know, next week, that temperature is going to be hot when the game starts.
Yes, it is.
So let's hope that he can harness everything that he took from this week in the next week, and bam, you know, cut that ball loose. Now, as far as the defense is concerned, woof. I mean, Hugh's representing the green beard for a reason. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's Zach Bond and Milton Williams yesterday. I mean, Milton Williams, I feel, was the unsung hero in the middle there, just clogging everything up. And you saw when those old linemen started to go down, I'm like, oh, man, it is going to be a penalty factory. And it did. It turned into one. Those guys create so much havoc up front that it's hard. I mean, that defense yesterday, man, hats off. And Saquon said it, right? I mean, look, you're getting the offensive side of the ball after the game, you know, giving props. Why? Because there are three words that just are sitting on my skull today. The minute my eyes open, win and advance. I don't care if it were ugly. I don't care if Jalen Hurts was back there on roller skates and were complaining.
look, we won. We're going on to the next one. And the beauty is that it's at home again. And I'm going to tell you, that place better be ready for it, because I have a feeling we got Minnesota coming in.
I do, too.
Offense, yep. If and that offense isn't the same as the Green Bay offense.
No, it's better.
There's a guy out there on the outside that's going to make a difference. I don't care what way you're looking at it. And it's going to be important. So, look, man, let's enjoy it. I don't want to nitpick today. I want to be like, hey, it's the playoffs, baby.
Hey, it's a win. That's right, Josh. And listen, Josh, we've seen this. And as the season has gone along, this team reminds me. It's funny because you always, like, you watch a team and you're kind of reminded of another team, right? And you kind of see elements of other years. They remind me of those Russell Wilson Seahawks. Early on, Russell was not asked to do a lot, right? He was asked to manage the game, not turn it over. And the defense and the running game, Hugh, that's why those Seahawks won a championship. And that feels, the more we watch this, it feels like that's what this looks like.
Well, yeah. I mean, and there's nothing wrong with that.
But the question is it, because that defense never had a bad day, right? They rolled all the way through. The question is, at some point, is the defense going to have a little slip and then we need more out of the offense?
Well,
that's the question.
If I want to be nitpicky today, I mean, they had a couple slips yesterday. I mean, it wasn't nothing that caused you egregious harm, but there were some missed tackles out there.
You're right.
If you want to be nitpicky.
More than normal.
I can say that, you know, there were times where, you know, Cooper DeJean, he's a sure tackler. He was out of position at some times, and he didn't make tackles.
Was it Reed broke four on one play? I think Jaden Reed across the middle.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where they basically had a week off, and they got off to a slow start.
Yep.
It was sloppy. I mean, that's the thing that you have to kind of factor in. I know, you know, we as fans, we want to talk about, are we going to do this, that, and the third? But you also have to understand that it's almost like, say if you're a guy that you're a glass blower. Say, you know, you're going out there blowing glass all day, and you ain't blow glass in like a week.
Is that our first glass blowing reference
on the
show?
Yeah, I mean, it was the
That's
first
not
thing.
A great
have
analogy,
you ever done
that? I'm sorry.
No, it ain't about to blow no glass. Ain't about to do that.
I didn't watch glass blowing.
No, I mean, it's pretty cool. Intriguing.
You're not supposed to inhale that.
Yeah, but it's
big
like,
trouble.
You know, you out there, and then you don't blow glass for a week, and then all of a sudden you back blowing glass, you're not going to have the same kind of skill set that you had a week before.
It's
going to take you a little
from?
Bit of time to get
algorithm?
Get going.
Where did that come
from?
No, I
follow this lady. She blows glass.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's got it. I knew it had to come from somewhere. Or I was wondering, maybe that was what you did for Saturday this week.
No,
you didn't watch glass blowing. Maybe a group trip to glass blowing one day. That'd be fun. All right, can we hear how it sounded yesterday? The Merrill montage before we talk to the actual Merrill, live and in person, or not in person, on the phone. But Merrill will join us at 11. How it sounded with Merrill and Mike and Devin yesterday. Here is the Merrill montage.
Elliott hits it. It is high, and Nixon takes it at the goal line. He's out to the 5, 15, 20, and he does not reach the 30. He is hit hard.
Ball came out.
The Eagles have it, a turnover on the very first play of the game. How about that play to start the game? Up the middle he goes. He's at the 25, 20, down to the 13 goes Saquon Barkley. What a start for this football team. Hurts, drops. He's looking, he's rolling. Still looking, and he is firing for the end zone. Touchdown! Wide open, Johan Dotson! Low. He looks. Going deep down the far side of the field. And it
Slay
is
took
incomplete.
It.
And
Slay
it is
took
Slay.
It.
Slay.
Big play. Slay takes it away.
Back goes Love. He's looking. He has time. He fires, and it's intercepted by Vaughn. Vaughn at midfield. Vaughn runs out of bounds at the 45. Zach Vaughn. First team All-Pro. Hurts. Fires. Complete wide open. Smith. 40. 35. That's more like it.
Yeah,
Hurts
there it is.
Rolling left and firing to Devontae Smith for a big pickup right there of 28 yards. He is going to throw. He does in the flat. A nice catch by Goddard, who breaks the tackle across the 5. Touchdown! Goddard.
Beast. He beasted him. He catches a simple flare pattern out into the flat, Merrill. And the cornerback is there, and he just beast modes him, pushes him in the face, not once, twice, and into the end zone.
Love back. He is going deep downfield, and it is intercepted! Intercepted! The first interception of Quinjon Mitchell's career.
How about that? It's the fourth takeaway by this defense on the night.
Hurts gives it to Barkley. And Barkley plows forward, and there's 100 yards. Again, it goes to Barkley. And again, he breaks. He's at the 40, and he falls down. He could have taken that home. He was out in front of the world. He could have taken that to the distance,
yes.
But he said, I will do the gentlemanly thing. I will fall down and run out the clock. It wasn't the best game the Eagles ever played, but it was a very solid win.
It's a good way to frame by Merrill. Not the best game the Eagles ever played.
No, a win is a win.
But it was more than good enough yesterday. Again, they still, you know, it's easy to look at the game and say, ah, there were some things that weren't great. They did win the game by two scores. And Hugh, I don't know about you, I never felt the Packers were about to steal the game. Like they cut it to, what, six at one point, and then the Eagles scored again. But did you ever feel really worried during that game? I didn't.
No. I mean, but I also know that you don't want a team like that hanging around.
Right, right.
You don't want them lingering. And that's the thing that you worry against, because you saw at points during that game where, it was 10-0 for a while, where Green Bay, when they get a little something going, they try to get charged.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to make sure that you snuffed that light out as quickly as possible. You don't want a team like that hanging around, man. And that's where I would say that the offense has to pick it up a little bit, because there were some opportunities that were missed, especially when you talk about three turnovers early in the game. Felt like it should have been a million points, and this game should have been decided in the first half, if you want to be honest. When you talk about the turnovers that were had early in the game and the fact that you didn't capitalize on them, this game should have been over.
Yeah, it's one of those things where they won by double digits, they won by the end comfortably, but it could have been a total rout if they were a little more on point on offense. 215-592-9494. Jeff in Wilmington is up on WIP. Hey, Jeff.
What's up, guys?
Hey, Jeff. What's up, buddy?
It was a defense for me, and it wasn't. I think you said earlier it wasn't just that they were stopping them; they were very physical. And I missed the very first play or the kickoff when they recovered it because I was driving, and I got parked like a minute and a half after that, so I missed that. But yeah, just the way. Look, dumb teams don't win games, and this team is not dumb. They're extremely smart. They take care of the ball. No turnovers. Saquon did the right thing, sliding down after he got that breakaway, and. It was an efficient win, if that makes sense.
I think that's a good way to put it. Yeah, it wasn't like bombs away. It wasn't super pretty. Even Saquon, Jeff, and Hugh had mentioned this earlier. It was more of a like a workmanlike 116 yards.
Yeah.
Like that break.
Yeah.
He had like two or three runs. He had a 16-yarder, 19 that last one at the end. But most of his runs yesterday felt like 3 or 4 yards. Right, just enough to keep this thing moving.
You know, earlier when you said you were talking about, like, Jalen started off, what, like 6 for 6, and he had all kinds of time in between. Like, he had plenty of time. I'm thinking maybe he got a little complacent back there in the next, you know, 3 or 4 series where he was kind of holding the ball a little bit too long. There was a couple of open receivers that he missed or, you know, he didn't see. I'm like, you get that much time back there, maybe you start thinking you got that time all day. And, you know, you got to be able to get those quick hitters out when you have that kind of time, I think.
Well, they do. And moving forward, and they know it. I mean, you can hear the way they talked after the game. I think they know they have to be a little bit better on offense. Just because the games are, you know, we'll see if it's the Rams or Vikings, but there's a chance it's the 14-win Viking team coming here Sunday. That's going to be a challenge.
And I love seeing Dallas Goedert involved.
Yeah.
The double stiff arm a guy and just little boy that dude right down the field. That was awesome.
It was wild. There were two of them this weekend, Jeff. There was the Goddard one, then Saturday night, Derrick Henry just slapping that guy's head and running for a touchdown. Great moment yesterday. 215-592-9494. All right, we'll get back to all your reaction here on the win coming up after we talk to Merrill Reese, who called the action right here on WIP. Plus, we do have to get to some bad news. It's a great Monday. The Eagles won. They're playing this weekend. But some bad news that did come out of the game with an injury and how it will affect and impact this team the rest of the playoffs and the future as a big part of this good defense, great defense, went down yesterday. 215-592-949 for Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
The action is heating up this playoff season at ESPN Bet Sportsbook. You can bet over-unders and point spreads or player props like passing or rushing yards. New ESPN Bet Sportsbook customers can bet $10 to get $100 in bonus bets and unlock 30 days of ESPN Plus. Download the app and sign up with promo code Radio100 to get started today. Odds and lines are subject to change. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.